Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
They don't show black people where we are in the book. See, we took a picture. The natural thing is, where do I fit in this? See, and as black people, you don't believe that God really loves you. That He really cares about you. And when the pastors preach, you mean to tell me the prophets could see the end of time and didn't see the horror of the transatlantic slave trade and write about it?
Black history, or blacks in the Bible. Are there any so-called black people in the Bible? Where do we fit in the story of God? And are we anybody of note in the Holy Scriptures? We go to church and read about Adam and Eve, the first family. We read about Moses and the commandments, the patience of Job, the wisdom and riches of Solomon, the disciples of Christ, and Jesus Christ Himself. What if they were all people of color? How would it change your life? And what would it mean to you? Come join us as we seek the truth to see if there were any black people in the Holy Bible. Like to welcome you to another edition of Kings and Priests, and as it is Black History Month, we're talking about black history. I'm your brother Gadawan, once again still here in London in the UK, teaching the words of the Heavenly Father and His anointed Son Jesus Christ. And we also have another brother joining us this morning. We've got the brother Zach. Good morning, brother Zach.
Hey, shalom to all the brothers and sisters over there in the UK. This is your brother Zach over here in the US on the Sabbath, about 9 o'clock-ish in the morning. To the Heavenly Father for another opportunity to participate in the show.
All right. So, do you think there's any black characters or black figures in the Bible?
Oh, yes.
OK. Okay. Well, this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. And also, we have another brother, and he hosts a show on Friday nights called Repentance is the Key. And actually, he did a show on Black History Month for Black History Month. You know, was slavery a blessing? I think most people know that slavery wasn't a blessing, that it was a damn curse. But, Brother Ibadja, good morning.
Good morning.
Or should I say good afternoon from the UK, because it's 2 PM over here. But I know it's early rising for you guys.
Yeah, 9 AM ain't too early. It's not too early, but it's early enough.
Mm. Okay, I mean, what can I say? I mean, most people, do they consider that there could be anybody that was black in the scriptures, black in the Bible? You know, I want to play this clip. This is a clip from, you know, before we start going into the scriptures and history and stuff like that, I want to play this clip from Malcolm X. And this is Malcolm X's take on, are there any blacks in the Bible? Now, keeping in mind, we follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We follow the scriptures. We are by no means Muslims. Just let me put that out there before I play this clip.
It teaches us that there is one God. He has one religion, and that he gave this one religion, the same religion, to all of his prophets. Which means Abraham was a Muslim, Lot was a Muslim, Noah was a Muslim, Moses was a Muslim, Daniel was a Muslim, Jesus was a Muslim, all were Muslims, all practiced the religion of Islam, and all were black men. None of them were white. You cannot name one prophet, please, you cannot name one prophet in the Bible that came from Europe. No prophet came from Europe. The prophets all came from Africa and Asia.
So, that's Malcolm X saying that the prophets and the people of the Bible, from Abraham, Moses, to Jesus Christ, they were all black men. Now, we know that the Bible and the commandments were way before Islam. So let's go and look, and let's start from the beginning. But a lot of people know about Malcolm X, but they don't see us as being the people of the Bible or having anyone of the Bible of any note, do they?
Hell no. No.
Okay. And Ibadja, look out for Yawana Thorn after he said he was going to call in. So look out for his number and let him in on the line. So let's start from Adam. Was Adam of dark skin, or as the world would say, was Adam black? Was Adam black, or was he white?
Or was he a person of color?
Was he green? Was he alien? What was he? Was he seeded by aliens? Let's go to the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter and the 7th verse.
All right. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, starting at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
So it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Who is this speaking about?
I'm sorry, say again. I'm already reading ahead. This is referring to Adam, if I'm reading this correctly. This is referring to Adam.
Right. So when you look at the ground, what color is the ground?
The ground is of a brownish color. Now notice, it didn't say sands of the beaches for people who try to play slick. Dust of the ground. So the ground is of a brownish color, and as you dig deeper into the ground, the soil gets darker and darker.
You sound like Uncle Ruckus there. Blacker and darker and darker and blacker. But when you look at the Hebrew word Adam, it's from, Adam comes from the Hebrew word Adama, that means of the ground. And when you dig out into the ground, it's just as you said, it gets darker and darker the deeper that you dig into the earth, the soil. So it says Adam was formed from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life, which was the commandments, that knowledge and wisdom, and he became a living soul. So right there, that shows that what? Adam was of a dark hue. Now I got another clip. And this is a clip where they're speaking to Louis Farrakhan, and they're going into like the DNA evidence of Adam and Eve. So let's listen to this.
And Noah cursed him, and of course he was doomed, who mocked Noah in his drunkenness, telling him how black folk were taught that our blackness is something of a divine curse, that we are the children of Ham. And Ham was one of the sons of Noah, who mocked Noah in his drunkenness, and Noah cursed him, and of course he was doomed from that point to be a hewer of wood and a drawer of water. And so today, black folk think of themselves in a servitude posture. Black folk think of the color of their skin as a curse. They think of the texture of their hair as something terrible, the thickness of our lips or the shape of our noses. This is not because we desire to think this way, but we live in America where white standards of beauty have been imposed upon us. Now what? How do you break this? By telling the truth. The truth is, black people have a beauty that is ours. It is uniquely ours. You have your beauty as white people. As you learn to appreciate yourself, and we learn to appreciate ourselves, then maybe we can appreciate one another. But truth has to be told. The truth is, according to your own scholars, your own scientists, Mendel said, black skin is dominant. White skin is recessive. Dark eyes are dominant. Light eyes are recessive. Mendel said you can get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. That's Mendel. Dr. Leakey was looking for the origin of human beings. He went to Europe, but he didn't stay there long. He kept right on moving, and he found the origin of man in Africa. Now some of your scholars of genetics have taken the DNA and have traced the origin of human beings back to the black woman. Look, we are the father of all human beings. Tell it from the mountain, the black people are the original people of the earth.
So that was Farrakhan. And, you know, a lot of people might say, oh, this guy's, he's a quack, he doesn't know anything. So what I'm going to go to, I don't know if you brothers remember that there was an article in Newsweek. And in that article in Newsweek, on the front page, it had an image of Adam and Eve. Can any of your brothers remember that?
Yeah, I remember it.
if you look on some of the pictures that we have up on the show, you'll see that picture. And actually, it was the Feynman picture, because what they showed them as is them, Adam and Eve, with Jerry Curls. You know, there was no Jerry Curl juice in the garden. You know, not that I've read about. I didn't read about no S Curl in the Bible. Did you?
No.
So I'm going to read a bit of that article where they're pulling up the DNA evidence and what they said in that article. And it's about Eve. It says, scientists are calling her Eve. but reluctantly. The name invokes too many wrong images. The weak-willed figure in Genesis, the milk-skinned beauty in Renaissance art, the voluptuary gardener in Paradise Lost, who was all softness and meek surrender and waist-length gold tresses, the scientist Eve, subject of one of the most provocative anthropological theories in a decade, was more likely a dark-haired, black-skinned woman roaming a hot savanna in search of food. So it's like when we say something as black people, we're crazy, we're ignorant, we're foolish, we got a chip on our shoulder. But this is coming from white scientists. This is what they're saying. And what they're saying, I like how they put it, the weak-willed figure in Genesis, the milk-skinned beauty in Renaissance art, the voluptuous gardener in Paradise Lost, who was all softness and meek surrender and waist gold tresses. So what are they saying there? Let me see if you brothers can see through the matrix of what they're saying, because it's giving the comparisons.
Basically, they're saying that the biblical Eve, because you know it did give the reference to the garden, was basically a weak-willed woman. You know, she was the personification of being docile and things of that nature.
Baja? Baja, you there? I think we lost our Baja. What color is milk?
White.
Okay. So it's giving a comparisons to what they had like in Renaissance art of a white Eve. Now it says what? The subject of one of the most provocative anthropological theories in a decade was more likely a dark-haired, black-skinned woman roaming the hot savanna in search of food. So, in the Renaissance, in many of the images of medieval art, she was portrayed white, but their studies are showing that it's more likely that she was a black woman. So, these are from white scientists. And I'm gonna read more on, because they describe their Eve is delicate, weak-willed, soft, meek, surrender, and waist-length gold tresses. That's how she was portrayed. But now that they find this, what now they find out and say, well, nah, probably most likely she was black. Eve was black. So it says she was muscular as Martina Navratilova, maybe stronger. She might have torn animals apart with her hands. Although she probably preferred to use stone tools, she was not the only woman on earth, not necessarily the most attractive or maternal. She was simply the most fruitful. If this is measured by success in propagating a certain set of genes, hers seems to be in all humans living today. 5 billion blood relatives, she was by rough estimate your 10,000th grandmother. So does that sound like a very flattering image of our mother Eve?
No, that's not very flattering at all.
This is how we portrayed on the earth as nothing. And it's like, okay, it's like, I mean, to say Eve was possibly a dark-skinned woman, that is something of note, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That would make, you know, our people, black women say, wait a minute, we descend from Eve? Eve was black? Well, let me fix myself up. But it goes on after it says that she was more likely to be dark-haired and black-skinned. Then it goes on to defame her. They basically say she was like a monster, able to rip animals apart.
A savage.
Yeah. But let's go into the scriptures where it speaks about Eve. Go to Genesis, the third chapter. Because
mm-hmm.
This is what scientists say. Let's see what the Bible says.
Starting at verse 1?
Genesis 3 and 20.
All right. This is the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says, And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living.
Right. So this is what scientists said, but this is what the Bible had already told us, that she was, that we were all descended of Eve. And how do we know that we all descended of Eve? Because through Adam and Eve came Noah, and Noah, after the flood, repopulated the earth through Ham, through Shem, Japhet, and Ham. So also go read Acts 17, verse 26.
Okay. Jumping to the book of Acts. Say again, please.
Acts 17, 26. And Jonathan, I see you on the line. We're going to get you, bro.
Acts chapter 17, and verse 26. And it says, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
So we know that all the nations descend from one blood, and that one blood is from Adam and Eve. So scientists are just finding this out, which we've known for thousands of years because it's written in the Holy Scriptures. That's science for you. I guess science is finally catching up with the Bible, or they want to tell the truth, you know, through their studies and things, they're finding out that, yes, black people are of note, and we are in the Bible, and in a very prominent position as Adam and Eve, as the mothers and fathers of this earth, were dark-skinned people. And that's what white scientists are saying. Because if we say something, oh, these guys, they got a chip on it, there's some kind of black militant, they're racist, this, that. But when white people say it, it's okay. So we've got white people to say it, or the evidence, or the articles, or the news from the general media. Because we as black people, we don't believe one another when we say something, especially coming out and saying something that we're somebody. No, we ain't nobody. Because that's what they show in the media and TV, that we're nothing, we're nobody. We can't be nobody. We wasn't nobody. We were just slaves. That's it. So let's move from there. So that's Adam and Eve. What about Ham? Because, it's like when you look at media, TV, you know, biblical programs, it's like there wasn't no black people in the Bible, especially the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is probably one of the most prominent biblical movies of all time. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Let's get Yawanathan on the line. Hey, Shalom, Yawanathan. You're on the line, bro.
Yeah, giving our praise to the Heavenly Father, to the listening audience. Glad to be here. If I could make a comment on the one point that you made already.
Sure, go ahead.
The point about the Eve, like in the article, said that she had to be muscular and hard. And, you know, during the time period that was written, they compared it to be strength-wise of the tennis player Martina
Navratilova.
Right.
Navratilova.
Right, and those are all images of a hard woman. But the thing is, that's not according to the scriptures.
Mm.
Okay, because when you look at number one, when you look at that tennis woman, okay, that's nothing of femininity. But I'm just going to get straight to the scriptures. Okay,
right.
And it says this in 2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse 54. Because had they would read the scriptures, they would understand this in 2 Ezra 6:54. And it says, and after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen. So here Ezra is letting it be known that the Most High made Adam and gave him what? Lord of all thy creatures. So Adam wasn't out there struggling and scraping and fighting, and neither was his wife. Scavenging for anything. The Heavenly Father gave them the whole world dominion. The scripture says here, Lord of all thy creatures. So even that statement in that one excerpt of that story here is totally against the scriptures, because Adam had dominion over everything, and naturally his wife, the Lord says that, what, of these two shall be one flesh, okay, she had dominion as well. But it was Adam that was the head. So now they were not there scraping and scratching for anything until the Heavenly Father cast them out of that garden for their wickedness. So that was the point that I wanted to make. And then also in this verse, like you said, yeah, we all came from Adam and Eve, but now there's in this verse here, the Heavenly Father is making the distinction of a particular people that he's chosen. And it's those ones that's in every nation that's what? That's been of captivity, that's been of that's continually in wickedness up to this day because of our rebellion. So now I just want to throw that back to you.
Okay. Now I wanted to go to Ham. To the biblical character Ham, because what they were saying was that Ham, that black people came from Ham, and Ham was the cursed seed. So if someone got the Zondervan's Bible Dictionary, if they can get that and read that. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. All right, I've got it. It says, this is Zondervan's Bible Dictionary. It says, Ham, the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark races, not the Negroes, but the Egyptians, Ethiopians, Libyans, and Canaanites. So that's you can get the Zondervan's Bible Dictionary, go to Amazon, or any reputable bookstore, and you can get that where it's going to show you that Ham was the progenitor of the dark races. So what does that prove? Number one, that yes, there are dark-skinned people that's in the Bible, because it said Ham was one. But it's something that it says interesting. It says not the Negroes. So who are the people being called the Negroes today?
We, believe it or not, are, of course, like it said in the dictionary, we are not the children of Ham. We, believe it or not, are the children of Shem. And through Shem and his bloodline, the seeds of his sons came Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, and, of course, Jacob with his 12 sons, which they became the forefathers of the nation of Israel, which we, as not only Negroes, but Latinos and Americans, we come from that seed line.
Right. Let me ask another question, because I said the Ten Commandments was probably one of the most prominent biblical movies of all times. So in that movie, in here it says, in this Bible dictionary, it says Ham, the progenitor of the dark races, not the Negroes. So he's not the father of the Negroes, but the Egyptians. When you see the Egyptians in the Ten Commandment movie, what color are they?
Not black.
You want to thought, what color are they?
Well, I'll answer it. You see Yul Brynner, one of the first so-called white men with a bald head on the screen, you know, as so-called Farrakhan, and all them put it with European features. Hmm. You know, it's crazy, you know, because here it is. You even go to the so-called historical records or historical artifacts that still exist to this day. You look at those hieroglyphics, all of those people are people of color, even though, you know, some of those archaeologists may have tried to whitewash those things to make them so-called lighter. Or even when Hitler dang shot the nose off of the Sphinx because the nose was too wide.
Hmm.
So, you know, and all through history, I mean, the Renaissance, where they went back and whitewashed a lot of the paintings from the Byzantine era when so-called people of color were in power. You know,
you're jumping ahead. We're going to get to that.
I know. But, you know, when the scripture said the Lord that he was going to have us cease from being a nation, he meant that.
Yeah.
There was going to be no remembrance of us.
And Malcolm X agrees with you. We're going to play that. We're going to play that clip in a minute.
Yeah,
but
I got something for them too.
But if the Egyptians, according to the historians and scholars, were of the dark races, and Moses, who was raised as an Egyptian, Joseph, who posed as the Egyptian, insomuch that his own brothers of the sons of Jacob didn't recognize him, then what color must they have been? What color must have been Moses and Joseph? White?
Dark skin? No, dark skinned people as well.
Yeah.
So I want to move to, so that's Ham. And Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Get that in Numbers, the 12th chapter, in the first verse. And furthermore, if Ham was the father of the dark races, what must that have made Noah? White?
Nope.
So Noah's white, and he's having this dark, black, Negro son. Boy, I'll be looking at the mama like, what? Where does Negro baby come from? He just black. He just born that way. He got re-vitiligo, like Ruckus. The older he got, the blacker he got. Then his baby was black. And the next baby was blacker than him. I mean, common sense would say, okay, black baby, there's some black in there somewhere. Black mama, black daddy, some combination of black. But we don't, you know, we're not told these things, even though the historical facts. One of the main things that I know is that our people don't read, they don't do study, they don't research. What are they doing? And I know from being and dealing with young people here in the UK, the majority of young people are drugged up, smoked out. They're looking to have sex. They're looking to have fun. They're not thinking about research or who they are. They could care less. They could care less. And they're not being taught. They're not being shown. Abaji, you wanted to say something. Go ahead. We'll bring
I just want to read the Exodus real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because we said it, but we're going to read it. I'm just going to go straight to the point. Exodus chapter 2, verse 5.
Mm.
It says, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister," talk about Moses,
mm-hmm.
he was there, "then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her," Moses' mother, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. So all the lies in that movie, and I know we'll deal with this when so-called Easter comes around, which is right around the corner, but it's showing you that Moses knew who his mother was. He always knew who his people were, and they were all people of color. Because he grew up in Pharaoh's house. Because mind you, if you read ahead in previous chapters, Pharaoh had issued out basically a decree that all of the male Hebrew children were supposed to be put to death because they knew of the prophecy of a so-called leader that would rise up from among them and lead the people to freedom. More or less, I'm kind of putting it into a nutshell. But they knew. The other nations have always known who our people were, who our people are, and what the creator of heaven and earth had in store for us.
Absolutely.
They've always known. Even today they know. That's why ain't nobody complaining about the so-called murder rate in Chicago. Yeah, it's just now coming to light. But listen, as long as black people are killing black people, it's not going to be a problem.
Now, let's go to Numbers 12 and 1. Further going and showing that there are black people that's in the Bible. We're asking the question, are there any black people that's in the Bible? Are there any black people of note in the Bible? So Numbers 12, verse 1.
Numbers 12 and 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman.
So Ethiopians, generally, what color are they?
They are dark-skinned people.
Right, and there, that is, what do you call it?
What?
A transliteration, because Ethiopians, when they wrote this, they were called Ethiopians. But the Hebrew translation is Kawash. It's Cush, the Cushite woman. So when you look up the word Cush, who was one of the sons of Ham, that should already tell you that this was a person of a dark race. But let's look at Cush. Cush, a member of any of the mythical or actual peoples usually described by ancient Greeks as dark-skinned and living far to the south. No, that's the definition of Ethiopian. A black person. The definition of Cush, also Cush. Biblical Cush was also to the Bible the eldest son of Ham, brother of Mizraim, Egypt, Canaan, and the father of the biblical characters Nimrod and Ramah, mentioned in the Table of Nations in Genesis, the 10th chapter in the 6th verse, and 1 Chronicles, the 1st chapter in the 8th. He is generally considered the eponymous ancestors of the people Cush, a dark-skinned people inhabiting the country surrounded by the river Gihon. So, are there black people in the Bible?
Oh, yes, there is.
Yes. So, and this black woman, this Ethiopian woman, this Cushite woman, she married Moses. So, did she marry good?
Yeah, she did pretty well for
herself. She did pretty well for herself.
Moses! May I read the scripture right quick, please? And I hopefully I'm not getting too far ahead of you, brother. I would like to read Exodus 4 and 7. That's all right?
Go ahead.
All right. Now, this is Exodus chapter 4 and verse 7. Since we're talking about colors and black folk, I would like to read Exodus chapter 4 and verse 7. And this is Moses talking, conversing with the Heavenly Father. And Moses was basically saying, Lord, I can't do this. What you want me to do as far as Lord and talking to the Pharaoh, I can't do this. So this is what the Lord is telling or instructing Moses. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 7. I'll start at verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now snow, last time I looked, was white. Verse 7, and he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you don't have to surmise whether it was white the last time you looked, because the scriptures tell you that it's white.
White as snow.
Because that was what happened as a punishment to Miriam for speaking up against the prophet of God, Moses, about his wife. She turned leprous, white as snow. Isn't that what it said?
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, it's in that same chapter that we just left in Numbers 12. It's in the same chapter.
It's in the same chapter. So it's telling you that the snow is white. So, yes. So my question is now, Moses married this Ethiopian. That goes to answer that question. Are there blacks in the Bible? Yes. Okay. The Ethiopians are black. The Hamites are black. The Egyptians are black. It's a historical fact. Now, what we're looking at now, that there's even more prominent people that were in the Bible, people that were note that were of a darker hue. Starting from Adam and Eve. We're reading from the Bible that Adam was taken from the ground, which is dark, and deeper you dig into the ground, you can do an experiment. You can do an experiment and go and dig into the ground, or you can go and, you know, look at your plant. If I go and grab one of my wife's plants and look at the soil that's in there, what color you think it's going to be?
A very dark color.
A very dark color. So Moses passed as an Egyptian, in as a prince of Egypt, who the Egyptians were descendants of Ham, the darker races, but Moses wasn't of the lineage of Ham. He descended from Shem. So he was also a dark race. So our people can put that, you know, put that pip on their shoulder. Not that chip, that pip. Like, that's a good thing. Moses was a dark-skinned man. And most people, you know, they haven't heard this ever before in their life because they go to church or they see the Ten Commandments during Easter and they see Charleston Heston.
Right.
That's who they see. Now, he married this Ethiopian woman, this black woman. What were their children going to look like?
Black.
White girl.
Even if Moses was white, that was going to produce a mixed race baby that was going to look black. Because that's what you see. White people and black people get together, black baby. But we're not saying from what the evidence that we're looking at, Moses also was a man of color. Right or wrong? Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay.
And then agree. And if I could, can I add something, brother?
Sure, of course.
You know, on that point of, like you said, a mixed child, when we really look at it, because we did this show, this is going back to the brothers who only smarter you, are you smarter than your pastor, did the biblical Jews show,
mm-hmm.
where they said that, okay, you are a Jew, where man says you're a Jew by your mother's lineage, it's not, because everything is done through the seed line of men. His family's a myth, okay,
mm-hmm.
and which we know. But I just wanted to bring this point out in this show. In Leviticus 24th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 10th verse, okay, because even now, I mean, you know, you have people that's intermarrying you know, everyone's intermarrying everyone, but the thing mm-hmm. is, the Heavenly Father, who you are is the seed line of your fathers, and more importantly, Christ says, my sheep hear my voice now, but to this point, because people say, well, they went to Egypt and they all mixed in. Well, here in Leviticus, the 24th chapter, verse 10, I'm going to read to about the 16th, and it's going to be clear. Leviticus 24 and 10, it says, and the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian. So there was a man whose mother was an Israelite woman, but his father was an Egyptian. And I'm going to read on. It says, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. So the scriptures is showing that this man, whom what we might call it, a mixed person, the scriptures say he went amongst the children of Israel. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he got into a fight or whatever with the Israelite men. Verse 11. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. So why didn't the scripture say this Israelite man? No, it says the son of an Israelite woman, okay, cursed the Heavenly Father, blasphemed the name of the Lord, and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother was name was Shemlomith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. 12. And they put him inward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whoso curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. So the thing is, this man was a stranger, yet his mother was of the children of Israel. And they made it clear, the Lord made it clear, look, whoever is among us that's blaspheming the name of the Lord, they all going to get the same punishment. So the thing there is the seed line of men, you know. And the thing is, the Heavenly Father made nations of men, and we went amongst the children of Ham. One more scripture, Psalms 105, verse 23. It says, Psalms 105:23, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, just like we were speaking earlier. So even the scriptures know that, look, the children of Israel went among the children of Ham.
So right? The point is that you're bringing out is that we intermingled. Well, the Israelites who historically, who in the media or portrayed as white. Historically, they've always been of dark-skinned people. But in the media, they're portrayed as white. These so-called white Israelites mingled with the darker races. So there would be some dark-skinned people that would be prophets or notable people in the Bible because they mixed with the darker races. But that's undeniable. But what we're saying is even more radical. We're bringing forth the proof is that the people, Moses, the Israelite, the people of God, the Jews, they were of a darker hue. That's what we're saying. So right now, this is a good time for us to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue to talk about this topic on Black History Month. Is there any black people in the Bible? As far as we've found out so far, we found out that Adam is black biblically and scientifically. So was Eve. Moses was dark-skinned. The woman who he married was dark-skinned. The Hamites, the Egyptians, the Cushites, the Ethiopians, they're all listed in the Bible, and they're all noted as dark-skinned people biblically, historically, and scientifically. So stay tuned, and we're going to be right back with Kings and Priests.
Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
kings and priests. And what we're talking about, Black History Month. Are there any black people in the Bible? From the movies and TV and the media, even biblical stories and biblical books, children's books that you would buy for your Bible, all the biblical characters, even the ones that are known historically as being black or portrayed as white. So that makes us think that where are we in the Bible? Are we anywhere to be found? So that's what we're talking about today. If you want to call in, you can definitely call in. The call-in number is 646-716-7749. That call-in number again is 646-716-7749. I'd like to thank everyone that's called in, that's listening in today. Everyone that's in the chat room, continue listening, and we're going to continue to bring out these various points that's in the scriptures. And I want to play this clip. This is a clip by Malcolm X. And he's asking, who are we? So let's listen to this clip.
Program.
Who are you? Yeah. You don't know. Right. Don't tell me a Negro. That's nothing. That's right. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? What language did you speak then? What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Bunch or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was then? Where did it go? Where did you lose it? Who took it? And how did he take it? What tongue did you speak? How did the man take your tongue? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
And, you know, when I hear that, brothers, and we say, okay, could we be anyone that's in the Bible or blacks in the Bible? Because in the Bible, it doesn't speak about blacks. It speaks about nations. And the Bible prominently speaks about the people of God. But when our people, when they think about who they are, this is what I think about on the whole. When black people say, well, who are we? Who are we? This is what I hear in my mind.
Black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blicky black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blicky black, black.
So if you're just black, you can't be anybody in the Bible, can you?
You forgot one part.
What's that?
You know what?
I'm black, y'all. That's it. We go out in the street and say, what's your nationality? I'm black, y'all. So we can't be anybody in the Bible if we're just black. But from what we're reading, Adam was black. That's what they're saying. It's not what we're saying. It's what scientists are saying. They're saying Eve was black. That's what they're saying. We all descend from a so-called black family. So let's continue. What about the prophet Job?
Yeah.
Let's go to the prophet Job, because we all know the patience of Job and how he lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health, and how Satan tempted him to get him to curse the Lord. What is there a description of Job in the Bible? Let's go to the book of Job, 30th chapter, the 30th verse.
This is Job.
Church people done cursed me with their with white Jesus. Not my Jesus. You're talking racism, boy. That's why I had to get other articles and things. So it's just, you know, it's not something that I'm saying. And furthermore, we get in the greatest document or greatest book ever written, the greatest story that's ever told, the scriptures, the Bible, as the evidence. So read that, Job 30 and 30.
This is Job chapter 30 and verse 30. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat.
Read it again. Some people probably done had a heart attack and didn't hear you.
All right. My Job chapter 30 and verse 30. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat.
So Job saying he's describing his skin. I mean, does that need to be broken down? My skin? Oh, he's not talking about his skin. So in the Hebrew translation is the skin of me, he is dusky from on me, and a bone of me, she is hot from drought, and he is to mourning, harp of me, and shepherd pipe of me to the sound of one's lamenting. So when you look at dusky, that word dusky, does any of you brothers know what that means?
Are you referring to D-U-S-K-Y? Are you talking about that?
D-U-S-K-Y.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because in Hebrew, it doesn't say black. It says dusky.
Yeah.
D-U-S-K-Y.
That's the definition of the word.
Y'all brothers... And, you know, when I say y'all brothers, talk about brothers, my generation, and backward. Y'all brothers ever heard that old saying, you know, work from dawn to dusk?
Mm-hmm.
So that dusky comes from that word.
It's a vampire movie.
Yeah, well, from dusk to dawn, but, you know, going backward from dawn to dusk. Or the point of the matter is, when you're talking about dusk, you're talking about a certain time period of the day in which it is basically the beginning of night.
Yes. Yes, it's getting dark. So the Hebrew word is shakar, and it means dark in color, swarthy, or dark-skinned. So what did Job look like?
Job was black.
He was black?
Okay, he was dusky.
Well, once again, what do we believe? Do we believe the Bible, or do we believe what media and the things it said? That's why we have to deal with the scriptures, and we have to humble ourselves to the Heavenly Father. Because the Heavenly Father, in Deuteronomy 32 and 7, it says, remember the days of old. Ask your Father, and he will show thee. The elders, and they will tell thee. But most people don't know their father. So we have to go to our Heavenly Father, and he's the one that's going to show our history. Because that's what most people, a lot of black people, you know, they're coming on to our shows and listening to the shows because they're looking, okay, what are these brothers going to say about black history? You know, they're tired of the same old, slavery. So, yes, we are somebody of note in the Bible. Job, he said, my skin is black upon me. So the word shakar, that means dusky. The definition that they have on dictionary.com, I didn't make it up, is dark or dark skin. I didn't make that up. So let's move from there. And another prominent figure, Solomon. Who knows Solomon? Who can say a few words about Solomon?
Son of David.
Hmm?
I was saying Solomon is the son of David, which was one of the kings of the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. that the Heavenly Father made a covenant with his father David, that it would be one that sit on his throne forever and ever, which is Jesus Christ.
So let's go to the Song of Solomon, the first chapter and the first verse.
All right. Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's.
So the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. So Solomon wrote the Songs of Solomon. Solomon also wrote many of the Proverbs. Solomon also wrote many of the books of Ecclesiastes. So what does Solomon say in this book that he wrote about himself? First chapter. We're in the first chapter. Now read the fifth verse, please.
Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon.
Okay, many people say that's not you're interpreting that. It doesn't mean that you're doing the Bible an injustice. So, read the next verse.
All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. Look not upon look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept.
Right. So he says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun have looked upon me. So generally, when you put dark-skinned people, so-called black people, in the sun, what happened? What happened to what color they start turning?
They get darker.
Whiter?
They get darker.
So what color was Solomon then?
Solomon was black. I mean, so, you know, black is beautiful. Well, guess what? Here's where you get it from, right here.
So in the Hebrew, once again, that word shakar shows up, where it says dusky, I and comely, daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. So once again, is that dark skin, because that's what dusky means. Dusky means dark in color, swarthy or dark skin. Also, the word Kedar means dark. So Solomon is describing himself as a dusky but handsome man, and his color is as dark as the tents of Kedar. And that's also leading you, because Kedar was one of the sons of Ishmael, that's also telling you about the real Ishmaelites were dark skinned as well, because they descended from Abraham, another dark skinned man. So most people know, I mean, we've been on the street and read this on the street, you know, dealing with black history, and black people damn near faint, or they're ready to fight because they can't break that programming that they're not just slaves. What do you mean? We were Solomon. Solomon was a dark-skinned man. They can't believe that. And more people be ready to fight than, wow, that's no, well, what does that mean? That don't mean nothing. What that going to do for me today? That's the kind of attitude that a lot of our people had, instead of saying, wow, that's amazing. You know, I never heard that was in the Bible. Brother, where's that verse? Give me that verse. Not many people are saying that. Most people want to fight because they've got that programming that we ain't nothing. We ain't never been, and that's the curse that the Lord has put on us for being disobedient to his commandments. That's why we suffer in America and the different places that we're in, and we don't know our history. We don't know that we are the people of God, and God has punishments. So Solomon, to his own account, is a dark-skinned man. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. He's saying what? He is dark like the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. So Solomon was very dark. He was darker and darker. And he said, look, the sun that looked upon him, so my man had a black tan. So you brothers got anything, any comments before I move on to the next point? So what about the New Testament now? Let's move into the New Testament. Were any of the disciples of Christ, were they dark-skinned or, you know, anything that would suggest that they were dark-skinned?
Let's see.
Yeah. Is it the New Testament?
New Testament.
Mm-hmm. You got where, an instance when Paul, they thought he was the Egyptian.
Yep.
Okay. Get it read.
You also have Acts 13:1.
So are you gonna get that one and read about Paul? You want it done?
Yeah, I gotta get it. I gotta search it up right quick.
Okay, well, Kazaki, read Acts 13:1.
All right. This is Acts 13 and verse 1. And it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
Now, that Niger or Niger, what does that sound similar to? What does that sound similar to you?
It sounds a whole lot close like the M word, brothers.
Okay, so let's look up the definition. It says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Remember, we just a bunch of slaves. We ain't nobody. They're black people. We're black people in the Bible. They don't show you that in TV and movies and greatest ever story ever told. As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger. Now, what is the definition of Niger? In the Eastern Bible Dictionary, it says Niger or Niger. Definition, black. A surname of Simon. Acts 13, verse 1. He was probably so-called from his dark complexion. Wow. So, are we somebody?
Yes, we are.
Oh, we need Jesse to come around again. You are, we are somebody. We are somebody. We are somebody. The Bible is telling us there are dark-skinned people in the Bible. And there's many dark races. But one of those dark races were the people of the Most High God. Even the disciples. The disciples. And you got that point about Paul?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Just to frame it up, it was Paul on his travels. And now the people were now making an uproar on Paul because he was bringing the word of the Heavenly Father, and a lot of people, just like now, did not want to hear it. So I'm going to read it in Acts 21, and I'm going to start at 36, and I'm going to read the verse 39. And it says, for the multitude of the people followed after crying, away with him. And as Paul was led to... And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee, who said, canst thou speak Greek? Verse 38, art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarshish, a city in Cilicia. Thank you. A citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. So the point here that Paul asked the captain of the castle if he could speak, and the man thought that Paul was an Egyptian. Okay, and just like
yeah,
that,
but who was he? Who did he say he was though?
He was an Egyptian, and he was of the children of Israel, living in the land of. Say that word again, brother.
Cilicia.
Word. Yeah, that's right. That's where he was living. He wasn't living in Israel, but he was living in another land. Yet he was of the children of Israel.
Now remember, Paul said he was a Jew. He was mistaken for an Egyptian.
Right.
Joseph was mistaken for the Egyptian. Moses was mistaken for an Egyptian. Now, according to historical facts and the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, that Ham, who was the progenitor of the dark races, the Egyptians descended from Ham. So when the Romans saw it, oh man, I thought you weren't those Egyptian guys. Paul was a dark skinned man. The great evangelist who was going and teaching those who were scattered abroad in different Christian churches in Rome and Philippia and Cappadocia and Corinth and all over these different places, he was a dark-skinned man. And he was a Jew. Wow.
Do you mind if I add this point with it as well?
Sure.
And the point with it, and it's plain as day, but just to really put it out there and iterate it for brothers and sisters that are listening, that, you know, just because we have dark skin, or some of us come dark as other nations, and their people come of a dark skin or of a dark hue, does not make us brothers or kin to that nation.
Right.
I mean, some of us come as dark as some African nations. That does not mean that we are all the same people or the same bloodline.
No, definitely not. And that's a common mistake that most black people make, but you wouldn't make that mistake between the Chinese or the Japanese or the Japanese or the Korean.
Right.
So let's continue on. And before we continue on, I want to play this clip. Now, this clip is a clip from the movie Malcolm X. Because we're going to talk about the greatest man that ever walked the earth, Jesus Christ. And how is he portrayed in society today? He's portrayed in the white man. But let's play this clip from the movie Malcolm X. Hold on a second. Here we go.
And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. St. John 10, verse 10. Are there any questions?
Watch it, baby. This guy is heavy on religion.
I can see this has become a struggle between good and evil. Satan has a question.
Yes, sir, Chaplain Gill, but since neither one of us are God, I don't think either one of us are in any position to say who's good and who's evil.
Why don't you just ask your question?
We were discussing the disciples. What color were they?
Well, I don't think we know that for certain.
But they were Hebrews, were they not?
That's right.
As was Jesus. Jesus was also a Hebrew.
Why don't you just ask your question?
What color were the original Hebrews?
I have told you that we don't know that for certain.
Then you can't believe for certain that Jesus was white.
Just a moment. God is white. Isn't it obvious?
Well, that is obvious, but we don't know if it's obvious that God is white. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Jesus did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the images of Jesus that are on prison walls and churches throughout the world are not historically correct, because history teaches us that Jesus was born in a region where the people had color. There's proof in the very Bible that you ask us to read in Revelation's first chapter, verse 14 and 15, that Jesus had hair like wool and feet the color of brass.
But just what are you saying?
I'm not saying anything. I'm proving to you that Jesus was not, and I might quote one of our Indian brothers, he was not a pale face. Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
So, that movie was long, long time ago. What, like the 80s, 90s, late 80s, 90s?
Oh, right. It's a mid-90s.
Yeah. Yeah, it was before the mid-90s. It was in the early 90s. 92, 93, somewhere around there. But, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's true? Is that what it says in the in Revelations? That Christ was a dark-skinned man? Let's get the book of Revelations, the first chapter and the first verse.
Book of Revelation, chapter 1. And verse 1, right?
Yep, 1 and 1. Revelations 1, verse 1.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
So this is the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ. And he sent his servants to what? To show something. So let's go to the 10th verse in this same chapter, this first chapter of the book of Revelations, this book of revealing, this book of apocalypse.
All right, verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
So, first of all, what day is the Lord's day?
The Sabbath day.
Then the scripture says that Christ is even Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes, sir, it does.
So that's the Lord's day. It's not the what they said Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. They put that under Constantine in the 4th century because he was a sun worshiper. He worshiped the sun. Saul Evictus, the unconquerable sun. And that's where you get your Christmas. That's all the rebirth of the sun. That's where you get your Easter. It's all going into sun worship, which going all the way back to the worship of Satan. That's the disguise. And that's why the scriptures tell it in Revelations that Satan has deceived the whole world. But we're not deceived because we only follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here's John, who was banished to the island of Patmos for teaching about Jesus Christ. So he's there on the Sabbath day, and he's getting this vision. Read on.
Okay. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
So he hid his voice behind him, and he's saying, listen, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and last. What you see, write it in the book, and I want you to send it out to these servants, seven churches as a message to them. Read on.
Okay. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks.
So John is turning around like, wait a minute, I hear this voice around. He's turning around to see who is talking to him. Read on.
All right. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
So who is he looking at?
He was looking at Jesus Christ himself.
Right. He's looking at the Lord. He's looking at Jesus Christ. Remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it says, he turned around. He saw seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That name is attributed to prophets, but is more so attributed to Christ more than anybody else. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So Christ had on a girdle that came from his stomach up to his chest. He had a war belt, but it was gold. Read on.
All right. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire.
So it describes the head on his head and his hairs, meaning his facial hair, his beard, because biblically, men were supposed to have a beard. They wasn't supposed to mar up their beard or shave it off or be clean shaven looking like a woman. That's why so many brothers today, they have that effeminate spirit on them. They don't have the spirit of a man. Having a beard doesn't make you a man, but shaving it off sure make you look like a woman. That's smooth. A woman has a smooth face. Christ had a beard. So the head on his head and the hairs on his face were like wool. Now, what people on the earth has hair as the texture of wool?
Our people.
Can it? Who?
Israelites.
Who?
Case in point, my grandfather.
Who your grandfather? People can't see you, Zach.
people that call themselves so-called Negroes.
Negroes. Okay, that's it. That we're talking about. Okay, yes.
Negroes, West Indians, a lot of Latinos, you know, got a nappier hair than the Negroes in Harlem. They would like to admit it, but a lot of them do. So, black people have woolly texture of hair. And it says it's white as snow, so it was fully gray. Now, it says something interesting. It says his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, it doesn't mean that when he turned around, Christ had flaming, fiery eyes, and, you know, he's about to put poor John to death for some evils that he's done. What does that mean?
Well, the scriptures let it be known that Jesus Christ's eyes, it's already prophesied about his eyes,
mm-hmm.
how he would be, that the Messiah, Shiloh, in Genesis 49. Genesis 49 and about verse 12. Genesis 49 and 12.
Read from 10.
Okay.
So we know that it's no mistake we're speaking about Jesus Christ.
Okay. Genesis 49 and verse 10. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come.
Mm.
And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk.
Mm.
So this was speaking of Shiloh, which is Christ, okay, which is the Messiah, and it says of those things and what we're talking about, that his eyes shall be red with wine. All of that, those verses was talking of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because Christ is Shiloh. But this is speaking about someone who drinks a lot of wine. So go to the book of Matthew's 11 and 19. So did Christ drink a lot of wine?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, let's get the proof and evidence.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children.
So what they were trying to say about him is that he was a drunk because he drank a lot of wine, but Christ never got drunk because that's a sin. So the verse before that in Matthew 11:18, they were trying to slander John the Baptist. It says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he have a devil. So they were finding something to discredit the men of God, the prophets of God who was coming up. So the false prophets and teachers were trying to find some kind of dirt or fault finding on the true men of God that he was sending. So So they said John, he had a devil. He wasn't. He didn't eat nor did he drink because he was following the law of the Nazarite. So he wasn't overeating. The man was eating locust and wild honey in the wilderness. So he had a meager diet. So Christ came. Christ was jamming food. He was eating food. Even after he rose from the grave, he's like, where that fish? Let me get some of that fish. He had a broiled fish and honey. He was eating with the disciples. So the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. Because Christ drunk a lot of wine, but he never got drunk. So that shows us why, when he saw him, his eyes were red. Now also get Proverbs 23 and 29 before we read on in the book of Revelations. Proverbs 23rd chapter and the 29th verse.
Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine.
So this shows you why Christ's eyes were red. Those that tarry long at the wine, they have redness of eyes. So let's go back to the book of Revelations. So now we've got Christ's head. We got his hairs on his feet, his hairs on his face, and the texture of his hair is like a Negro's hair or a black person's hair as they would describe him today. Now we've got what? He was drinking wine and his eyes are red. So let's read on in the book of Revelations. What else does it say about him? As he turns around and he's looking at a man, John on the island of Patmos is looking at Christ and he's describing Christ. Read on.
Verse 15 now. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
Now, we've gone, and when you look at Jesus Christ's lineage, his genealogy, where does he descend from?
Well, hold on. I'm not going to read it all, but when you read Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham, actually Christ's lineage can be traced back to Adam.
Okay. So wasn't Jesus Christ the son of David?
Yes, he was.
Did he not descend from Solomon?
Yes, he did.
So go back to Song of Solomon 1 and 5. Go back and read Song of Solomon 1 and 5. Because it said, when you take anything and you burn it in a fire, what color does it get?
It's going to get black.
Huh?
Real dark.
Say it again.
It gets real dark, gets black, gets charred.
What?
It gets dark, swarthy, dark, black.
Now this is in your Bible that you have at home. I suggest that you pick it up, read along, and see what the truth is. But let's look in Jesus Christ's lineage. Because first of all, we read from the beginning of this show that Adam was of the ground. He was a dark-skinned man. And then the scientists proved that Eve was more likely to be a dark-haired, dark-skinned woman. That's in the Newsweek article where they had about Adam and Eve. Now, go back to Song of Solomon 1 and 5, who Solomon is in Jesus Christ's lineage. Read that.
Song of Solomon, 1 and 5. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath touched upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept.
I guess many Ku Klux Klan members are throwing away their Bibles now. Ku Klux Klan members are throwing away their Bibles. Get that out of here! So in Jesus Christ's lineage, Solomon, who was the son of David, was a dark-skinned man. Go ahead. What you going to say? You want to thought you had something to say. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, just back to that Revelations, particularly verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace.
Mm.
So, now, back to that brass.
Mm.
You look at brass, that brass, all brass is the texture of it is smooth, okay? It's real smooth. And then when you put that in the furnace, it's going to be smoothly burnt. It ain't no ashy, chopped up skin, you know what I mean? Christ was of a healthy hue. Of how the scriptures are saying here, and it wasn't all ashy and like a lot of our people because of the defilement that they do because they do against the scriptures, that their bodies look bad. But that wasn't the case with Christ, because he was what? He was the Son of the Most High. He's the one we ought to follow and serve the Lord. So you naturally, his skin would have been of good because he followed the Heavenly Father. So that was the point I just wanted to make that. It's showing you the condition of a smooth, dark-skinned man that, you know, well-oiled and conditioned. So that's all.
All for all praises for that, brother. But here we are in different lands scattered abroad, thinking we nobody, nothing. And many of our people have images of the white Jesus in their homes. How many of your brothers had a white Jesus in your home?
Man, please, my parents ain't put that. My parents did not play that. It may have been a white Jesus on the Bible or whatever, or the family Bible, but, you know, it was basically more or less one of those things where it was like, okay. And we got to that, you know, we mentioned that on the show. It was like, okay, yeah, we know Jesus, but what's your point? We'll get to that in a minute. But no, we didn't have a white Jesus in the house.
I believe my grandmama did, but, I mean, to be honest with you, brothers, I believe my grandmother had a picture of, you know, the more commonly accepted image of Jesus Christ with the blonde hair, the blue eyes, and things of that nature. But if you brothers don't mind, I would like to go back and read something in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Can I do that right quick, brother?
Go right ahead.
This is Revelation 1 and verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. The point that I wanted to emphasize was what Christ said, what thou seest, write in a book. Because a lot of people, that is to include our own people, want to dismiss it or say, well, the color of Christ isn't important, or Christ's physical description really is not that important. But Christ told you out of his own mouth, to John the Revelator, what you see, what you are looking at, write it down in a book and send it to the churches. So obviously, the physical description and how Christ looked was important because Christ told John the Revelator to write it down.
Okay, so now, black people and a white Jesus. I got this clip. This is a clip of a show called Good Times. And
basically
we're just going into the little boy Michael painted a picture of black Jesus. And there's some discrepancy of what Jesus looked like. But most people have that in this show. The Jesus that was portrayed was a white Jesus. So let's listen to this.
Mama, couldn't we at least let black Jesus hang alongside?
Forget it. The only Jesus I know is him. And the one thing he don't need is a partner.
Europeans. Wow.
So
wow.
Have been the attitude of many of our people is that you know, the it's the white Jesus, and that's all that our people knows about is that white Jesus. So listen to some more of this this clip. Hold on a second, I have some difficulties playing that clip. But while I'm looking for that, I'm gonna play a different clip. And this is a clip of people in Poland. And let's see what image of Mary and Jesus do they have. So let's listen to this.
Is found in the heart of Poland. A highlight of Marian devotion, it attracts 4 to 5 million pilgrims each year from 80 countries worldwide. The icon of the Black Madonna and Child goes back to medieval tradition. According to historians, the painting follows the model of Byzantine iconography. It is an autogetria icon, that is to say, the image of one that points out and guides all along the path. A legend attributes the creation of this painting to Saint Luke, who was a contemporary of Mary, and so could reproduce her true image. In 1382, the icon was brought to the hill of Jasna Góra, which means Bright Mountain in Polish, and overlooks Częstochowa. At Prince Władysław of Opola's initiative, a hilltop monastery was built for the Pauline monks. The child's face is turned toward the pilgrim, but her gaze is elsewhere, as if looking into the distance, beyond time and space. Both the mother and the son seem immersed in thought, yielding an aura of wisdom. The brown color of their skin contrasts with the bright surroundings. Mary shows the child Jesus to the pilgrim, and the Christ child holds a book in one hand, and with the other gives a simple, yet noble gesture of blessing. In every moment of difficulty in Poland, the population has huddled around the Black Madonna of Częstochowa and the Child Jesus. Even today, tens of thousands of people walk to the shrine each summer. The image is dark, made even darker by the smoke of candles that continuously burn before the icon. Karol Wojtyła himself frequently visited the shrine as a pilgrim, especially in 1936, along with many other university students who pledged to build a new Poland with the help of the Virgin.
So, in Poland, the ancient biblical art of Mary and the baby Jesus is a dark image. So you have these white people, white folks, they go on and they're paying homage to a Black Madonna and a Black baby Jesus. Can you believe that, brothers?
Yes, I can.
Well, now I can, because understanding that we have. But, you know, people in the world don't have it.
Millions of people go to pay homage. But we, as Black people, we still thinking that, oh, Jesus is white, and it doesn't matter. Now, I dare anyone to go to Poland here in Europe and try to touch that image. You won't make it back. You try to touch that black baby Jesus, you won't make it back to Harlem. So let me see if any of your brothers got to say, because I'm trying to look for this clip to play on the Black Jesus before we round it up. So any comments you got to say, please just jump in.
Oh, I got quite a few. I've been holding some, and it's just like I was like, okay, that's going to go too far off to, you know, on a tangent here or there. But I said I was going to come back and get them guys. And I was talking about, because we played clips from, you know, what Malcolm X was speaking about, certain things about the color of the people in the prophets in the Bible. And I want to read a couple of scriptures regarding that, because anytime we do a show on Black history, we also have to let our listeners know that, no, this is not a show about Black nationalism. Okay? This is not a show about bringing so-called all Black people together and take down the white man. Hell no, we ain't taking down nothing. Okay? This show is about the truth in the Bible as it is written in the scriptures. Not about all of the lies that we've learned and the things that we've been taught growing up. That's what this show is about. And moving forward in that also, you know, because I want to go to a scripture real quick, and I had it here. Matter of fact, hold on. It's in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, because we have to understand something. I'm going to go to one of the curses from Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I'm going to read verse 25. It says, "The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed into all kingdoms of the earth." So we know that our people are scattered to the four corners of the earth. You read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, you read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, all throughout the scriptures, how the Lord was going to bring his people from the four corners of the earth. So we know that our people are scattered, because you have some Israelite groups that we have been affiliated with at one point in time that will make you think that all of the Lord's people are just in a nice, neat little package from in North, Central, and South America, whereas the scripture says that we've been scattered to the four corners of the earth. Now, we know that as far as the signs and the things that the scripture said would be upon the children of Israel, we know how we got over here. Okay, and as far as the curses go down the line, we know that the bulk of the Lord's people, we know how we fit those characteristics. So there's no denying that. Okay, but it's kind of funny how you have people that have come up and rise up. Because when you play the Malcolm X clip, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, well, where in the hell did he get it from?
He got it from the Bible.
So this just goes to show you how wicked our people are. Because if he knew who we were, then why was he not leading us back to our God?
Right. I've got the clip now.
What's that?
I've got the clip.
Okay. And furthermore, why would he even – and he didn't even lead them into Islam. He led them into a knockoff of Islam.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As Malcolm found out in his travels, that he traveled the world and found out, okay, what these NIGGAs over here is dealing with ain't what this Quran is talking about. But that's neither here nor there. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Because all of these so-called Black nationalist groups and all these groups that come up, guess what? They'll point to the truth in the Bible as far as everybody being a person of, you know, the people being notable people of color. Moses was a person of color. Adam was black. You know, they'll go there. Why? Because that brings us to an identity of something that we didn't have before. The 83rd Psalms tell you that all the nations took counsel to cut us off from being a people. That's why we don't know our lineage. That's why we don't know our heritage. That's why we don't know our language or our land. None of that stuff. So now we created an identity. But what? They're going to take a covering, but not of the spirit of the Heavenly Father in Christ.
Right.
Why? Because Christ teaches us to repent from our sins. That's why he said, I'll read verse 1 again, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord." Because the whole reason that the other nations were even given the power by God to even have this power over us is because we went away from the Heavenly Father. Let's make
right.
that clear.
That's the say of the Lord. It ain't about, oh, the white man, the devil. Hell, we ain't even looking at the black devil that we see in the mirror.
Yep.
You want to point to the white man.
Jeremiah 17:4 says, "And thou, even thyself shall discontinue from thy heritage." So in saying that, before I play this clip, I'm going to play the clip that I have from Malcolm X.
Program.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me a Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? What language did you speak then? What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Bunch or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was then? Where did it go? Where did you lose it? Who took it? And how did he take it? What tongue did you speak? How did the man take your tongue? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Jeremiah 17:4. It says, "And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thy heritage that I gave thee." So the Lord gave us a heritage. We are somebody in the Bible. They are black people in the Bible. But what happened? We discontinue from our heritage. That's why we can't open up the Bible and say, look, I'm somebody in there.
Uh-huh.
And not only am I somebody in there, I'm the somebody in there. Christ was a dark-skinned man. Moses was dark-skinned man. Job was a dark-skinned man. Abraham was a dark-skinned man. Jacob was a dark-skinned man. It says, "And even thyself shall discontinue from the heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thy enemies in the land." So who took it? How come we don't know? It's not because of the white man. It's because we break and have broken the Heavenly Father's commandments. We have broken the Heavenly Father's commandments in the past, and we continue to break them today. So that's why we just black, y'all. We're just black, y'all. We're black of the black, and I'm black, y'all. We're nothing besides black. We're dark. We're evil. We're infamous. But the Lord has called us to be something much more than that, but we'll never see that in the state and condition that we're in until we repent. Now, I've got this clip, and I'm going to play it now. Finally found it of good times where it's talking about the black Jesus. And the fondness that our people have for the white Jesus.
Well, I hope the space lab is out of the way because I am just about to go into orbit. I don't have to ask who hung this here, Michael Evans, but before I hang you in its place, why?
Mama, it's just a symbol of Jesus.
Well, hello, Symbol. And goodbye.
Yes, they painted him.
Don't bang on me, Michael. I had him in the closet. We wasn't performing no miracles for nobody.
Mama, couldn't we at least let black Jesus hang alongside?
Forget it. The only Jesus I know is him. And the one thing he don't need is a partner.
Mama, how do we know Jesus wasn't black? He could have been from the lost tribe of Israel. They were supposed to be black.
I bet they were. If ever people were lost, we're it.
Now, come on, y'all, both of you.
This picture has been in my family for as long as I can remember. When I was a baby, I don't know what I saw first. My mama, my papa, or this Jesus. Now, he's the one I know and love. So let's close the subject. Jesus was black. The Bible would have said so.
But it does say so. What are you talking about? I read about it. It's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. I read about it in Muhammad's speech. It says, his hair is like wool, and his eyes are like flame of fire.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. This show do say that, don't it?
And see, Mama, look at that hair, like wool, ain't it? And look at them eyes, red.
Yeah, they
ghetto show is. Judy, how come you decided to paint it?
I don't know. All of a sudden, I just had divine thoughts on my mind.
And for JJ, that's a first.
What, having divine thoughts?
No, having a mind.
I guess I ought to be grateful for JJ having Jesus on his mind in any color.
Then we can hang on to Walmart?
Well, now,
please.
All right.
So, in good times, they give the breakdown of Jesus Christ. That was in the 70s. So, is it just us brothers, or is there other, you know, facts and things that's coming out that are being ignored?
Well, the one point is that, yeah, you put it out there, but then they made a mockery of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see, it was hard for her to believe that there was anything different than what she had been told. But there was a good thing that she said. It was that if Jesus was black, the Bible would have said so.
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy said, "Mama, it does." And she's like, "Where?" And that's supposed to be like, "Where is that at? I ain't never seen that. I've never been told that."
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. the Lord's we're going to discontinue from our heritage. So it's been kept from us on purpose, not because of the white man, because of the Lord, because we've sinned. So it puts us in a low state and condition of mind where we don't have the Christ of the Bible on our mind. We have this Christ that was created in our mind, this pagan Christ. This Christ they teach you about Christmas, and you put your gifts under the Christmas tree, and then you go and kiss some woman or man that ain't your husband or ain't your wife under the mistletoe. See, the Bible says marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Well, Christmas is probably the most prominent time for whoremongers and adulterers because people drinking, getting drunk. So that's not the... They don't want us to think about the Bible or that we are in the Bible and to look at the Bible, because if we start looking at the Bible, we're going to start to find the answers to everything that's wrong with us, and we're going to get the answers on how to correct them. Like, why is this? You know, I asked the question, why there's so many drugs and things in my community? You know, I see crack vials in my community in Queens, New York. Like, yo, there's a problem. God, why is this like this? Why is this amongst my people? Black people, I don't see this when I'm walking on 110th Street. All the houses are nice and there's greenery. Why would I walk amongst my people is the slums and drudgery of the dregs of society? And I got the answer. We broke the Lord's commandments. We are those people that's in the Holy Scriptures, and we have to repent. It's as simple as that. It's simple as 1, 2, 3, ABC. But most people are not going to believe it, or they're shocked by it, because it's not coming from a prominent person in society. But it's the same thing with the disciples. When the people saw the disciples, they thought they were some rough men until they began to open their mouth and speak, and then they known that they had been with Christ. Look, man, these some rude men. Look at these damn fishermen. Who they think they are? Wait a minute. When they spoke, like, oh, they've been with the Lord. So, you brothers got anything in closing as we get ready to close up?
I got to go back to where I was reading Isaiah, because this is the whole thing. Because I started out reading Isaiah 30:1, where it said, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, because our people will run to everything and anything under the sun." Because I was going into the point earlier, like, listen, okay, yeah, Malcolm X quoting, "Oh, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this and this." And they always will reference the Bible. They will always take counsel, but they're not going to take counsel of the Spirit of the Lord. They're going to lead them to something else. And there's a reason for that. And even on the good times, she was like, "Well, this is the Jesus I know, and that's the only, I don't know if I knew first the Jesus of this here, and my mama and my daddy, and the Hubba the Hubba the." But why? Why do our people want to hold on to everything except for what the Lord told us to grab a hold to? I'll finish the verse. It says what? "That they may add sin to sin." So our people have always rebelled against the Heavenly Father. And anything that has to do with the Lord, as it is written in the scriptures, or even now, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to deal with that. We're going to run the other way. So guess what? Verse 2, it says, they walked to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So what do? We go to the philosophy and the doctrine of our captors. We go to the philosophy and the doctrine of the lands in which we were serving bondage. That's what we go down into. That's what we ask our counsel. That's what we put our strength in. And think that, oh, well, as long as we ain't got to deal with Jesus, they're not going to say that out their mouth, but in actions, that's what we're doing. Verse 3, this is what the Lord said our punishment or our recompense would be for that. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. So guess what? When we want to think, okay, well, the reason we can't get drugs out of our community is because, you know, we don't have the economy, the same economy and the same education level as the white man. Or we don't have this. It ain't got nothing to do with the white man. The Lord said because we trust in basically everything else other than him, we're trusting in the strength of Pharaoh, our captors, to get us out of these conditions. We're looking to someone else other than him, falling under, basically looking for their protection to get us out of these situations. He said that's going to be our confusion. That's why people don't understand why these things can't get corrected, why the children are so disrespectful and disobedient and killing each other in the streets. They can't understand that. That's why he said it was going to be our confusion. And the answer is repeating through Christ. Back to you, brother.
Go ahead. Any other brothers closing up?
May I add on to what our Bible is bringing out? And this is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. What I wanted to emphasize was that part where it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And you played a classic example of that when you played the Good Times clip, brother. Believe it or not, you did. Because, Mother Evans, she rejected that knowledge. And even though that was done or that was recorded back in the 70s, it still happens today. When the truth of the scriptures is being brought to our people, a lot of our people choose to reject that and continue to embrace the things that they have been raised to believe in, or they have been, or that somebody else with some lesser doctrine brought to their eyes, instead of what is the truth out of the Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm. John?
Yeah, I was going to say that, these series of what we're doing during this so-called Black History Month, you're finding out that is, if you are a so-called person of color, that you're not just nothing. And the understanding that, with this understanding that we're bringing out with the words of the Heavenly Father, the scriptures, that it's the Heavenly Father that put us in these conditions for our rebellion. He's made us lower than trash, the reproach of all nations. But the Heavenly Father also gave us a way back, and he's going to uplift those who fear him and want to come back to him, but not through your philosophy, not through our philosophy, but through the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And if we put off all madness of our minds and become a disciple and become disciplined in the word of Christ, the Heavenly Father will give you glory upon without end when he gives that glory to Christ in his kingdom. So with that, I'm going to say I'm glad to be a part of this show today.
And in closing, you know, we brought out many things and showed that they are biblical characters, that they are black people or black nations that's in the Bible, and really notable black characters, so-called black characters in the Bible, and that even the people of God, those that are called Jews or Israelites or people of color, that may be hard for some people to believe, but we've shown it in the scriptures here today, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and definitely hitting some of the points why we don't know these things. But I'm going to read this prayer from Solomon, who we read in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter and the fifth verse, where he said, I am black and comely, the dark-skinned man. And this was his prayer for his people. He says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. So the Lord is angry, or was angry with us. He has carried us away to the land of our enemy as captives or slaves, far from where our home should be. Verse 47, and here's the remedy. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely, and have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thou dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. So this was the prayer of Solomon, and I can see that it fits nobody else but the so-called Negroes and Latinos and the Native American Indians that's been persecuted in the Americas and all over the world. We are those people that have sinned before the Lord. We are those people that have been carried away captive. We are those people who have served in our enemy's land. So we are those people that have to bethink ourselves. We are those people that have to repent of our sins against the Heavenly Father, against our perverseness that we have committed, of our wickedness that we have committed against the Heavenly Father, and repent through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and return. So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ for another edition of Kings and Priests. Be sure to check out our next show on Thursday night, dealing with Black History Month. It's Time to Awake. We're going to be doing another Black History Month special. And be sure to check out Kings and Priests. We're going to be doing another Black History special next week. So until next time, we say all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ.
Shalom.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.